Hi, and welcome to another episode of DJing BJJ with me, Irish Mike, and my co-host.
It's a me, Ken.
Fantastic. No, I'm not going to be changing my entrance because I'm going to remain constant and boring like I do with everything else in my life, and I'll leave Ken's spice up the
podcast. Honestly, mate, I'm going to go back to the classic
Ken. I'm actually missing it now.
Because these intros are giving me anxiety. I'm like, how am I going to say it this week? The moment when we press the record button, I'm like, fuck, I've got to say something higher energy. So, yeah, guys, these are drawing to a close. The Mario might be the final emotive introduction that you get from me. But
we do appreciate the... fucking lost my words.
Yeah.
The engagement.
The engagement, yeah, I always appreciate the engagement. So. Always appreciate the shit talking. If you're going to give us banter, make it good. So, yeah, me and you, Mike, back to...
Square one again.
Back to the duo after Benny's swanned off to Asia this week. Getting his flights, and yeah, nice little run of guests. So thanks to everyone who's kind of been on, anyone in the community that's fired over the questions. Much love, like we say. Engagement's good. We've got to pump up those numbers.
Yeah, somehow it'll come. If you build it, they will come.
So. Exactly that. So
busy week.
Busy week for you, eh? Just what was it yesterday? You're saying pumping those Paddy Daly
numbers. Paddy Daly numbers, I've done three. I had a little thing with work. Didn't know if I was in a job or not there today. the pendulum swinged both ways, whether I was told earlier in the morning, possibly not, and then sent to the job for tomorrow, so everything's fantastic.
Everything's coming up, Michael.
I was actually looking forward to doing, I'll just take the week off next week anyway, and I was going to just train two or three times a day anyway, every day, like, just for the crack.
Live the dream.
With the competition coming up and stuff, like... I wouldn't have anything to be getting ready for, so I could just fuck about as much as I want.
Yeah, well, just like go in and
just do what I want. Like
have a laugh, chill with the boys. So yeah, elephant in the room, comp coming up. Obviously, Surrey Open this Sunday. Got yourself and a few of the lads going down.
Yeah,
I'll be there. Don't know, cheerleader Ken, corner man Ken, from the side.
You're gonna have to give me shout some advice over. Apparently, they said there's barriers there as well, so you can't be coaching close to the mat. So. It's going to be kind of probably like the Bournemouth thing where they've just had barriers all around the mat and coaches aren't next to it. So if you have to shout.
No, you have to actually have emailed in advance to get a coach's
pass. No, they're not having any. It's free to everyone and there's no coach passes. But if you want to coach, you have to coach from behind the barriers like with everyone else.
Bluetooth earpiece.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? I don't know.
But
Have you done Surrey before then?
No, I've done Bournemouth and it was the same.
Because they're both independents, aren't it? They're not under an organisation.
I think Andy Roberts, BJ, they run Surrey Open.
I thought of that too.
Yeah, because I got an email off him and it says Andy Roberts on the bottom of it.
Oh, cool. So it's your first time there. I thought you'd been there before, but have any of the lads, because I know some of the higher belts at the gym have competed there when they were, you know, lower belts, like Shaz, for example.
Yeah.
Black belt coach for one of the for the non Matt House listeners, he said that it was a good, like, he was lauding it up as a good first comp option for some of the lads who are going. But I think all of you that are rocking up have competed before, hey?
Yeah. So James O'Brien has started competing recently. I think Tom Lucas has competed a good few times.
Yeah.
And I've competed a good few times. ADCC gold medal, you know, went to Bulgaria to get it.
Yeah, Charlie's competed a bit as well.
Charlie has as well. We've competed with Charlie at All-Stars.
At Fleet. Yeah, I don't know how many others he's done. I know he's done
a couple anyway.
Pretty sure he's done a couple more.
So it's not, there's no first time nerves for anyone, but sometimes the first one is the easiest.
Yeah.
I mean, my first one, well, I enjoyed it, like, you know, and I went on my own. I said that's how we got to know the boys from Impact MMA.
Yeah.
But introduction, like, yeah.
Yeah, you got reacquainted with
Dean,
with Dean, thank you. Yeah.
But so I've been training like mad for it. Coach asked me there last night, have you been doing your sprints? Do you know the regime he gave us for doing the sprints? So obviously I haven't. So I mean, if you listen to Craig Jones said on the Flex Friedman podcast, you should do one where you've done absolutely no preparation. One where you've done moderate amount of preparation and then one where you've actually prepared as much as you can and you'll know each way what it takes and what you get.
Whether you get the return on investment going in.
So like the last one would have been, that was All-Stars as well, wasn't it?
Was that Europeans? Was that last
Europeans, time? Sporadic training, a lot of drinking in between. Wasn't really prepared, didn't really give a fuck about it, just said I was going to do it anyway. Lost to Gnoggi in 40 seconds or something like that. Put up a good fight in the gi up until about 2.5 minutes in, got bone narrowed. But Yeah, it was like mistakes were made.
Would you say that was moderate prep or no prep then?
No, that wasn't even.
Just turning up to the gym now.
No, because I'd only done like two sessions a week sometimes, and one session a week one times, whereas like I've been training consistently now for, well, you know, sure, we're nearly training partners most of the time, like, so. But like this, I was just doing, I said, I was either going to do Wednesday, Friday and a warm-up Saturday or something like that. And I said, you know what, I have the day off work, I'll do the three in one. And you see me, because you came on for the 7:30, like,
yeah,
I was just, no energy.
End of the day class, which is always quite a tough one anyway, yeah. that class is.
So I've done like the 7 to 8, and then the 12 till 1, and then the 7:30 to 9.
Yeah.
I was just like, by 8 o'clock, I was just rinsed.
Like. Yeah, I remember you saying, like, you were like, when we were drilling, you were like, I'm probably not going to roll. And then we were about to roll, and I was like,
You said we'll floor roll.
I was like, we've been drilling, so we'll have a flowy roll to warm up. And you were like, nah, let's just see how we go.
Yeah.
Ended up being a fucking half-decent roll with Dom coaching you and then Connor coaching me by the end of it. And, you know, as soon as somebody starts giving you advice from the sides,
you just like, turn it up a notch.
Well, for fuck's sake, well, this is a go now. But, yeah, no, that's good, man. So was the increased training volume, because I know that you're probably never going to be one to do sprints off the mat unless it's, like, you know, arranged under Matt House banner, or we're all doing it together. You know what I mean? I don't see you.
I'm going to try. This ADCC thing is, Poland is in the back of my mind. Because I'd like to go to Poland anyway for a week.
Yeah.
And it's in the back of my mind, because Lucas is gone, obviously. And I'm thinking of doing a big prep for that, but I don't know where that falls between the holiday and going on soon. So like, I'd like to give it a month of actually doing a little, because it'll take me a good while to build up my fitness. Like, it's not something I'm going to do in 4 weeks, but even if I just started off a couple of days, 1 week, you know, and maybe do two days maybe for the first 2 weeks, then build it up to three and then see how it goes, you know.
Was this increased training volume that you've been doing intentional as like a prep for Surrey? Because like, was that, I know that when you want to get better or get fitter at jiu-jitsu, you generally
do more jiu-jitsu.
Just do more jiu-jitsu.
That's what I do, yeah. No, I just missed the time off the mat. Because, like, you know yourself, like 3 days is the minimum. And it's usually with a fourth. Or else you'll do 3 days and you'll have a double in there. And then you'll do the Saturday.
Yeah.
So, like, it's minimum 4 classes a week, like, is, or whatever hours that works out into, can be different depending on if you're doing an hour and a half.
Which classes, yeah. It's usually between 5 and 7.
5 and 7, yeah. So 6 is, like, kind of the sweet spot. So I've been hitting that consistently, like, for the last few weeks. So, it's a hard thing to know, because like I feel like you're nearly getting worse at jiu-jitsu, but you're probably improving, you know. Like, I feel like my passing isn't as good as it was if months ago, which is weird.
Yeah, it goes in cycles though, and different things will be working for you well and other things won't be working as well.
I think this will be a good test, like, to see where I am.
To see, and, like, where you're at without any comp-specific prep, but just with your, like, you know, general...
Because it's not a big one, and, like, you're on about doing the... you're on about doing the prep, using Fleet as a prep for...
Oh, that's for the English, but you've also got IBJJF London in... the full one in October, which I think a few of the lads from the gym are going to do. So both of those I'd like to do a proper warm-up for.
I'm going to use this as a stepping stone to start my comp prep, like, for trying.
Get yourself back in the swing of things.
Yeah, it's just, you know, personal preference. Like, I know, it's just weird, like, the way I'm feeling. Like, 3 weeks ago, I was fucking feeling like shit about my jiu-jitsu, and I wasn't feeling too bad then last week, and this week's a bit, I'm really enjoying it this week.
It's that roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that roller coaster that we always talk about. Do you know if any of the other lads have been doing, like, comp-specific prep, or they've just been getting, like, Charlie always is in, like, pretty robust shape.
Charlie's just a fucking machine, let's be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's ready to compete most days of the week. Yeah. But,
I think he'd get out of bed at 7 o'clock and he could have a fight.
I know that, obviously, yeah, James has been getting the reps in. He was one of the most attended.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the most attended.
He's gone miles better as well. Like, his jiu-jitsu was very good. He was saying to me, oh, I want to watch out for you. I was like, mate, I can't even pass your guard anymore.
Do you know if anyone's been doing the off-the-mat conditioning stuff, or do you think most of them have just been smashing in more mat rounds?
I'd say no, but I'd say if you were to talk about Charlie, like, Charlie does the wrestling and the MMA training and that, so that would be a different form of training and fitness.
Yeah.
But I can't speak to James. I haven't really spoken to him about that side of things. And Tom Lucas, with everything he has going on, having the family and the amount of times he trains, I wouldn't imagine he's doing too much.
Yeah, no. Well, they all listen, so Roy's reach out in the community, let us know what you've been doing, obviously.
Obviously, it's only from my side of my opinion of not having talked.
Yeah, and we'll all be there on Sunday, so repping the Matt House colours, and it's going to be a good vibe, I hope. Yeah,
see, hopefully, yeah. See, yeah. I'm actually going against a guy, Ryan, can't think of his second name, but he bet me a white belt in Bournemouth, and it was one Bobby, it's on my Instagram, Bobby's with me and his guy's with him, and the two of them are just talking over the two of us doing two white belts doing jiu-jitsu, and it's actually hilarious. Like, he's like, go for the defend the triangle. He doesn't know how to defend the triangle, and all this rolling commentary, it's just fantastic.
That's
like,
hilarious. So it's what the fella that beat you, so it's chance for Mike's revenge, eh?
Yeah, well, that's if I suppose selfishly the goal would be to get that one back at least. But there's 8 people in the bracket.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's minimum 3 matches.
You've got a good go then, hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll see. Like, hopefully I can step up to the plate, like, you know, try and get to sleep right now and all that kind of right coming up to it. And I've laid off the booze a bit. You know, I had a blowout last Saturday.
As much as one can. Yeah, we both had a blowout last Saturday.
You know, but like I didn't have anything. Well, I suppose the Saturday before that, but like it was another.
There's a trend. There's a trend to this.
But this Saturday I'm not going to drink at all. Me not drinking is like 2 or 3 bottles.
Yeah, yeah. not drinking to excess.
Yeah,
yeah. It's probably best for you. You're back at work. Like I said, it could be tempting if you'd have been off for like.
I actually would have.
The rest of the week.
I was thinking.
You say that now. You don't have to. You don't have to prove it.
I had thought that to keep me out of the pub, I was thinking, or out of the bookies or whatever, I was going to just go to the training the morning and the afternoon and just not spare or anything, just go and do the technique and then just
sit
back and relax.
Outside and chill. I was doing that a bit injured, and it's a lot to be said for it, to be honest.
I don't know, certain times you think I'm going to change things in my jiu-jitsu and then everything stays the fucking same, you know. Yeah. So it could have just been all bullshit thoughts in my own mind.
That's it, mate. We all go through those cycles, though, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to start fresh from this week. This weekend, I'm not going to drink. To tell ourselves those same old lies again and again. But yeah, speaking of comps, obviously, and you getting ready for this one, I was saying to you on WhatsApp earlier in the week, actually, like, and I don't want to comment specifically on Andrew's situation, because it was his comments that made me start thinking about this. Like, he mentioned about moving gyms due to a lack of support from his coach. And like I say, I don't know that situation. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes there. So this isn't about that. But it's more about...
the topic of gym culture.
Exactly.
Professor and jiu-jitsu player,
kind of what do you need from a gym, in a sense, like as a competitor, what should you expect from a gym as a competitor, like, you know, because obviously, let's be honest, most, unless you're at a comp specific gym, which in the UK, you know, there aren't really many.
Checkmate they've gone to the trouble of making geese, let's say, a competition team.
Yeah, like they're going to have like a comp squad within their affiliate. Like the big gyms out of London, like RGA, they will have a comp team that does comp specific training. Like Owen's gym, the Carlson Gracie up in Hull, that's a very comp specific competitive minded gym. So unless obviously you're going to one of those gyms with a specific comp program, the majority of gyms, like if you're not living in a big city, it's going to be maybe you'll have an option of 1 or 2 gyms, right?
I'd say it depends on the members, really, doesn't it?
Like, but then, like, you know, those gyms, their MO is going to be to make money, hey?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to appeal to a wider range of hobbyists. Competition sparring doesn't...
It's not for everybody.
...always appeal to them. So I wondered, like, do you have expectations? Like, do you think, like, as a gym, they should provide some form of comp, like, in the prep for the competition and then at the competition, you know? Where do you sit on...
I think I can only speak to, like, our own training and being where we are, and I think I don't want to be putting words in anyone's mouth or anything like that, or, you know, it's just my opinion on the situation. I'd say that, like, you have to, there's not a lot of people that compete in our gym, so we'll just put that out there first.
It's a very much a hobbyist centric gym, but
if you're going to get your coaches or someone else to take time out of their day, you know what I mean, their families and things and everything going on, and with all the time that they already spend in the gym, to come out and support you, I mean, you have to put the work in. And if I was looking at myself and I was to ask Dom or Adam or Rob,
yeah,
and I'd say, look, I'm competing, will you come with me? I wouldn't expect
them. What a fuck for, mate.
Yeah,
do you want me to hold your hand?
Yeah, well, no, obviously, like, for the support of
the coaching side of it. But,
like, they'd probably say, like, all, Mike likes a drink. All he
of,
doesn't.
I mean, all of them other than Rob have children and families, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you've got to.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, I think it'd be a specific. You can't. Each case would be different. So, like, if you're to look at me, like I would look at me from an outside sense. Like, I'd say, I'd never really ask anyone because I'm not that fucking extrovert. But, like, I'd say, he likes to drink. He goes drinking after training. He doesn't do sprints. You know, like, he's not putting all his all into the competition. He's only doing it to compete or for the love of the competition or whatever, but he's not actually prepping for it. So,
just for the crack.
So, yeah.
Just have a flat-out scrap with someone.
Yeah, someone you don't know and under the competition rule set where you can put that pressure on and, you know, but also to see where you are as a belt. But, like, as I say, if you're to look at my situation, then let's just look at someone like Bobby Annikoff. Yeah. Always training, always there. I don't know why he does in the thing, but I imagine he goes to the gym and that as well. I know that. I've seen him in the gym, pictures and stuff, you know. So he's doing a lot outside.
He does what's required to prep for the course.
Yeah, so like if it was someone like him, they'd probably say, oh, yeah. But then there's the case of there's only one guy. Would you go for one guy? I wouldn't expect anyone for one guy. And like we had that thing at the Euros last year where Dom came and coached, but we had...
All-Stars.
Where Dom came and he coached everyone. But he had about 22 people going.
Yeah.
And I think, and we did all, that's when we were doing the sprints last and that, and like.
That was when he gave us the blueprint and it was kind of like, and I've tried to, as I've said on other podcasts, I do try and follow that with that interval training in the run up to, because I do think when it comes to like gas tank and being able to go that last round, although I don't seem to get past silver at this point, but when
Craig Jones.
I'm talking fucking not even close, but I'm talking about not being able to push that last round and I've got no evidence to justify it. But yeah, the point still stands. I think it makes a bit of a difference. I mean, for me, you know, like I think firstly all sports are on a spectrum of between team and individual.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then different people within their training methodologies will also fall somewhere on a spectrum of between team and individual. Like looking at the sports, obviously jiu-jitsu is more of a individual sport than say football, right?
Yeah,
like, we both agree on that. Yeah, but like things like skateboarding are probably more, you can't do jiu-jitsu well without a partner, you know. You can do some rounds of a grappling dummy, but there needs to be some sort of community team aspect to it. So like things like skateboarding, hiking, if you call that a sport.
I was going to say if you call it skateboarding a sport, but
yeah. Enough ragging on the skateboarding, mate. You upset a lot of people with that last week. A lot of my
fucking nerds.
I don't know where you've got that from. Skateboarders aren't nerds, man. Skateboarders
are cool. You smoke weed behind. Let's do a half pipe.
Skateboarders cool. You're just exposing your ignorance.
Oh, I did an ollie. Oh.
That's exactly what we do. We just used to hang out and be like, oh, I did an ollie. but yeah, and like things like paragliding, right? That's an individual sport. You're not really doing that with anyone. But they all have some form of community aspect to them in a sense. Like, I guess that going paragliding, not telling anyone where you're going is a recipe to get stuck in a tree, right? And then be sending out a search party to see if they can find you before a bear does. Obviously skateboarding, you know, it's very tough to learn that without having a little bit of a, like the skate park community around you to give you some tips and stuff. And jiu-jitsu, you need a coach and you need training partners. Mm. But like,
healthy training partners, you can't destroy them either.
Yeah, 100%. You got to have a healthy relationship. But then within that, there will be people that, like, you know, even within like a team sport like football, you know, or like basketball. I always remember the story of like Kobe Bryant staying after practice for 2-3 hours and just doing real basic drills, like, you know, and it was like, this is a team sport, but he's taking the individual element to it.
Was he on the Olympic team? Because I remember someone saying the story that he used to be up at 7 o'clock in the morning, just taking 3-pointers all around 7 o'clock in the morning, just bang, bang, bang. And they're like, what are you doing?
I know he played for the Lakers for most of his career, but I don't know about, I know that in basketball, it's one of those weird ones in the Olympics. Yeah. Is it where you can be professional and do it? I don't know.
I think it was maybe before. Yeah, I'm not sure. It was a Brendan Schaub story that I remember hearing.
So it's probably completely fictitious. And I remember stories of like Beckham used to be like one of those that would stay after training and would just be like curling balls from free kick positions just to get that drill in. So I think to bring it back to jiu-jitsu, I think, you know, jiu-jitsu falls on the more individual element of that. And if you're at a gym like Wolf that has primarily caters towards hobbyist members, then your competition training should be towards, you know, you've got your team around you, you've got your guys that you know you can get hard rounds with, but would be towards that more individualistic side of it. You've got to, you know, we're not going to Worlds, we're not at a competition specific school, so you, if you want to compete, you've got to take a bit of it into your own hands, I think.
Yeah, well, I think I say the community in our gym, I know, like, we can't speak for every gym, but we have a lot of higher belts as well, like, that will actually take time out and help you, and if you ask them questions, they're like, you know, they'll always be there to help you. And I think like, if, like, it's, when you don't ask the question, you can't expect someone to show up. And I mean, I've never asked for him to come, and he's come, you know. And I don't think you've asked either, but I don't know how that even came about, but like, as I say, it has to be worth getting out of the chair for. I mean, you want to be in with it. If I was a coach, I'd say I want to be in the chance with getting the team trophy as well.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe it's, these guys are training so hard all year, I know all these guys, I'm gonna show them a bit of love or whatever, you know, they've asked me, but sure, I don't fucking ask. Yeah. And I don't expect it either. I mean, we were talking about it briefly there, about maybe, like you say, be up to yourself. Like, if you know you're in a group of guys that compete, like, we have open mats.
Sure you set aside dedicated time for that.
Sundays is a great time. Like, if double class open or 2 hours open mat, I mean, that's your one class a week to get in whatever you want, specific drills, specific sparring, whatever.
Tough rounds, stand-up rounds, because the mat's more empty.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, you have to take a bit of it on yourself as well. Like,
yeah, and I mean, obviously, if you really are, you know, in your 20s and you're going for like a competition sort of career in jiu-jitsu, I'll put career in inverted commas because I still, you know, I'm not sure how wise a choice that is. Yeah, you better get...
You want to have the trust fund ready, like, you know.
Either have a trust fund or a taste for pot noodles, for sure, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Pot noodles and bed sits.
Yeah, bumpy ride, bed bugs and pot noodles, name of your autobiography, as a jiu-jitsu athlete. But yeah, I think, unless you're moving to a comp gym with a real idea of making a go of it, I think, like you say, it's about taking that individual...
Initiative and
push the training. Because, like, what do you need for a good comp class, right? Before we actually talk about getting to the comp, what do you need? You know, the off-the-mat conditioning, only you can do that, right? Sure, if your boys want to drag you out and run hills with you, great. But, you know, you can slack off at hill running. You can give 80% instead of 100%.
You're more comfortable if someone else is there.
Yeah, but even then, you know whether you're pushing or not. Mm. You know, you're only lying to yourself. Like, the conditioning, I believe that's on the individual almost entirely. But then for the class, obviously...
You're speaking from a good perspective as well, because you do condition outside of it. Yeah. Just be clear on that. Like. Yeah. Whereas I don't, like...
Yeah, yeah.
I would need someone like you to carry me, but at the same time, when I say carry me, I'd say, like, we're going running, and, like, if you take off, I'm just going to go, fuck him, I'm just going to slow down. I would be like that.
That's why that hills thing's cool, because it's only, like, you know, 65 metres up a hill.
Yeah, yeah.
So then even if you're mispaced, it's like, you know... You're only going to be a few seconds behind the person anyway, so that is good, doing those reps that that Dom set out. But for the class, what do you think you need? You need some obviously good training partners.
I think
a bit of space to do some stand up.
I think you need, in my opinion, what I did, like, a higher belt, like, that has competed and has good knowledge of, well, they will have knowledge of everything, but. I think like we have.
Do you mean at the comp?
For the class. Okay. So we'll just say me and you have a round, right? Maybe we film it, because we never do enough of that. I think if I filmed my jiu-jitsu, I'd find so many mistakes I'm making that I could point out, that someone could point out and say, stop doing that. And I never do it, and it's something that always crosses my mind. But when they get in, I just want a spare. I've just retired.
Just want to have a roll, eh?
But yeah, like you're saying, I'd say, I think you'd need to like record yourself against a couple of people who you go with. Treat it like a comp pace. Look back at it, see where you both went wrong, analyze that and use that to carry through, and then maybe work on that for 2 weeks or something like that. I don't know. That would just be a rough idea in my head. Now, that would never happen with me because I'm great at ideas and very bad following things through.
I mean, so no, but I think that the big thing there is, again, most of that is you taking the initiative to film your roles, and like the only real essential necessity other than a smartphone there is a partner that's willing to have a comp level go with you. And you can do that in your, like,
there's enough of them in our gym, to be fair. Like.
And that's what I mean. I don't know if, like, because I think when we initially talked about this, I was like, you know, I was coming from the position of, I'd like a comp dedicated class in order to, you know, make sure that you're not, you know, with a, I think my exact words were, with a bit of a less of a focus on drilling, surprise, surprise, a blue belt that doesn't want to warm up or drill, but like with a bit more of a focus on kind of like, you know, positional stuff, like maybe shark tanking people to help build the gas tank and get used to that real intensity, and then, like, you know, comp level goes for the rounds, or comp paced goes. But I think now I've speaking to you and actually thinking about it a bit, I don't think there needs to be a comp class at all. We just need to fucking pull our fingers out of our asses, like always.
And as I say, it kind of falls on yourself as a lot of self. I mean, we used to have the comp class last year, or even into this year, I think, where we'd do a stand up, and then we'd do a couple of bits of stand up at the start, and then we'd break into the technique because it's an hour and a half class. I think that's really helpful as well. Wednesday class.
It's still kind of following the same, even though it's not
called competition.
Yeah, because he said no one turns up.
Because they think they're going to get
hurt. That's the thing, his job is someone that's curating to both, like, hobby, what we are, which is hobbyist competitors and hobbyists, and then people that, like, you know, are very recreational, not people that aren't even hobbyists, like people that dip their toe. Like, you know, he's got to cater to the mass audience and wants to fill those classes up as much as possible. So if you call it comp class, you alienate huge chunk of your market. You might as well call it advanced class and then do a bit of stand up at the start, because that's what he says. He's like, it still is comp class, but I'm just not calling it that. And then the people that want the tough rounds can seek him out. Like last night was fucking.
I actually sat out the last round, which I was only thinking, no, as I said that, I said I'm not going to sit out any rounds anymore. But I was just, but I did do fucking.
I'd normally give you shit for that, but after 3.5 hours of jiu-jitsu, you know what? I'm not going to take the low hanging fruit. So, obviously, that's comp prepping for a comp. Like, what do you think you need at competition? Like, do you need like a coach or someone there? Because like,
it's handy.
Do you think like having someone, because jiu-jitsu is so,
for me, yeah,
like complicated, for want of a better description, like having someone who is significantly better at it than you that can see positions from a third position, for like a third eye.
Do you know what the funny thing is, and I always think about it, is, do you know when you have your coach there, right, and they have their coach there, and you're going through something, and I was looking at a lot of competition videos last week, just to see, like, you know, what was it like, and blah blah blah, and
old ones.
Yeah, and Bobby was like, "Watch your hand there, watch." And I was like, "I know he can get the arm triangle. Shut the fuck up!" But they're actually trying to help you, but because when they're looking as well, they don't know what you're thinking, and I think it works well in some instances. It works brilliant because it doesn't matter what you say to them, they can't defend or counter what you're about to do. But in other things where maybe you know you might get, they're like, "Watch that thing," or. And then you, if, because they're going, generally they don't hear, they wouldn't hear the person on your team's voice, because in what's happening, you're listening to hear a familiar voice. So like, you'll only pick up what someone is saying to you if they're a familiar voice. But sometimes stuff gets through, you know. That's only my own opinion on it now. Like, obviously, I don't.
That's interesting, because like, at Fleet, that's the only time I've ever, in the absolute, because Dom was coaching someone else when I had my division match, so he only coached me in the absolute match, which I lost in the first round, and like, the first half or three quarters of the match, like, I think it was my second or third competition, man, like, I was not listening, right, yeah. And I remember hearing things, like, now retroactively hearing things and being like, kind of not ignoring them, but just being like,
Hindsight's 20/20.
Sure. And then there was a couple of moments where like I had to re-guard and stuff, and I remember hearing the dig. Like Dom coaches very well in a sense, like he'll give it to you in small, easy steps. Like, because obviously you might only retain two or three words. If someone's giving you like long, like give. Yeah. Some, I've heard some people at comps and it's like
put your leg here,
BJJ
put your...
fanatics instructional. It's like, right, so what you need to do now is grab his right arm with a cross grip and then like, yeah, and it's like they're breaking it down for YouTube or something. And, you know, that you're never going to digest. But I remember he was like, underhook left arm, sit through, things like that. And it would just be like, right, okay.
To the point.
Really specific. Like, yeah. And like, I've been making a point because, you know, sometimes you'll be having a role and he'll be coaching from the, he'll like see that you're in a position and he'll start coaching from the sides. And I've been making a real point of like, whenever he starts coaching to try and follow the steps that he gives me, because I know that I was terrible at that at the last competition. Yeah. And at the first one I went to, Squish actively has said to me, like, you boys are shit at listening. He said, Bobby Yanikov. He's like, Bobby Yanikov is the one of you that can fucking listen to a cornerman or coach whilst he's giving you advice.
Proper professional.
So, like, I think, obviously, if you've got someone like that, so two things, like, not just they're there, but you can listen to and execute what they're requesting.
Again, it's falling on you again.
Like, it is useful. But I think a lot of the time, like, put it this way, bro, like, this weekend, I'll be more than happy to shout out how much time's left on the clock for you, to let you know what the points are, give some cheers of encouragement, but I'm not going to want to be giving technique-specific instruction because I know where my knowledge is and it's not all that. So, you know...
I mean, I was actually just going to say that before you put it through. It's like when we went with you, like, I mean, I can't explain and I don't even see the right moves sometimes. I think, oh, you should go here, but it's could be the exact opposite where you need to go. And like, because I've done it a few times in my house where I see people run and I'd say like, put your left hand in there or what, you know, just try and get out of that position or something and trying to help, like, but I'm always conscious like someone there is going, what the fuck is Mike on about, like. So that's why I said to you, like, I'll shout every 30 seconds or if I feel like you're in trouble, because when I roll after 2.5 minutes I'm looking at the clock. I think time
for Sunday.
Time and points. That's the only thing that matters. You're on these many points.
That's it. And then having someone to video it as well, because like we're saying, the videos are so informative. But yeah, at the start, he started to podcast with it's the fittest he's ever been, and now he's like, from 2.5 minutes onwards, I will be looking at the clock.
No, I didn't say I'm the fittest I've ever been. I've said I'm the fittest I am in a while.
Since the last comp. Yeah. No, I'm misquoting you, mate. Yeah. I'm misquoting you.
I don't tell any lies. I never lie.
Try and attribute that. But yeah, so I think like a comp is a mostly individual endeavour, but it's nice to have, you know, a couple of sturdy training partners that can help you with your training and also help you on the day with timekeeping and filming. But like,
I think to sum it up, like, it's like it all falls on you, but you can't do it on your own.
Exactly that. And I'll tell you what, like you said about Fleet having 22 of us there with Dom coaching, some buzz, wasn't it?
And it was good to get, it was good that we actually, well, we didn't get the trophy because they miscounted due to people registering under the wrong gym, but we did really, because we had the most wins. Like,
yeah, and I mean, like, we outnumbered people so significantly that
I wasn't going to say that. I'm not surprised.
But no, it's like you go to the British Open and you see some of the big teams, like you say, like Checkmatt, like Drake as well, the Welsh one. They've got loads of affiliates. Like, you know, they're when they win the team trophy, like they take over the podium because there's loads of them. You know, we
had a moment.
We were a little independent gym, but we managed to, because the competition's just up our road, we managed to bring about, you know, anyone that's ever had a remote interest in competing ended up registering and getting involved. It was class. So yeah, it might not be essential, mate, but if you can get it, I fucking take it.
I heard this Surrey competition is a big Andy Roberts versus Carlson.
Is it? Yeah. No, that'll be fun to watch some scraps then. So,
I think they like to come into the Andy Roberts' backyard and try and take a few trophies. Hopefully we can put a dent in stopping some of the medals getting through.
A few Met House medals be nice. Mm. Yeah, we'll obviously report back on next week's pod, ideally. We'll see what's going on with... We'll see what's going on with interviews and stuff. But from preparation for competition and your run into Surrey, You messaged me earlier this week with having a little existential crisis about training methodologies. I think you'd had a chat with a white belt and a blue belt after another blue belt and one of the up and coming white belts at the gym after training, and you sent me. I can't remember it, but do you remember the message where you were like, "I think I need to be doing this. I don't do any of this. Like what?"
So
sum up the situation.
Yeah. Bro. So it was yesterday at we did 7 o'clock class, and Squish was closing up, and there was myself, Squish, Harvey, and Malcolm.
Yeah.
And
so for those of you like Harvey that doesn't listen, Harvey's like I think he's an ex-judo guy, used to powerlift, white belt, but very much a student of the game, working really hard, getting quite good. And Malcolm's a recently promoted blue belt that I've bigged up before, so I'm not going to kiss his ass again. If he wants to hear that, he can listen back to the episode where I said nice things once upon a time. But he's a Scottish fella. Carry on, Mike.
Yeah, so they were just talking about how Harvey does 3 days of playing guard and 1 day of passing. And he was saying that's the way he's been doing it for so long. And he's going away on holidays. And when he comes back, he's going to switch it around the other way.
So as in he focuses, like he's like he goes into the training like with being like, right, today in my roles, I'm going to focus on
this guard.
My guard.
Yeah. And I was like, all right. And then Squish was even going, oh, did you do it like that? And then Malcolm had said something else, but due to my brain now, and that was yesterday, he was saying how he trained, and he focuses on specific things as well. And I was like, fucking hell, like, I mean, I often think, right, I need to get better at my passing and I need to work on this, but I don't actually put specific days.
You don't block stuff out and have a training program.
And it really gave me like a different feel, but my fucking memory retention is just so fucking shite anyway. I think if I had a thing to follow, I'd probably just hate it. Like, it's what you said afterwards, because what you were saying was if you start blocking things out like that, it suits some people, like people that are regimented and like things, and like I love a scrap, and if I was to start turning it into something that was regimented, that's when I start losing interest in
that's
things.
What I said. I think I said in a voice clip afterwards. Yeah. I said, "What, you want to go back to school, bruv?" Like, I mean,
yeah.
Is there...
it, when you said that, like it actually, you just hit the nail on the head straight away, and it's that's the way. Like I just fucking wish-wash in through things, ideas I have.
And I say that as someone who takes notes, right?
Yeah.
I do take notes after class because that's the sort of, but not that, you know, I've mentioned before, Malcolm takes meticulous notes and handwrites them as well, which is fucking gangster if you want my honest opinion on it. I take bullet points on it. I have like a fucking training log that I run each, I just make a new page each year, and it's like, you know, when, what date the class was, you know, what the class was. You know, was it like no gi for an hour and a half? Was it a gi? Technique. So what technique? What's the technique part? A couple of bullet points, and then some notes from sparring, like what went well and what needs work. And I do that every day. And it takes. I normally do it in the walk from the gym to McGaff, and you know that as I keep flaunting, that's about a 3 minute walk. So you know, it's a couple of bullet points. So like, you know, if it's a technique, it might be the cut. Because you know what, mate, I'm sorry, I used to, when I was a white belt, write really long notes, and I'll never look back at any of them. And I know people will say it helps with you memorising the movement and stuff, but fuck, like, you know, I don't want it to feel like a chore, ever. I keep saying this, but like, the reason that I love jiu-jitsu is because of how fun it is, and I feel like if you make it too regimented, you lose the fun element. But if that's what you love, and if you're fucking,
it's different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, exactly, man. And that's what makes jiu-jitsu interesting. Is you've got all these wonderful weirdos that approach it differently.
I just started doing positional sparring instead, like.
Yeah, and I did say that to you because you were like, "Oh, I don't focus on that." But I was like, "No, you went like when you first got into guillotines, you went really deep." Hmm. I still don't know if I say that. Like someone said, I said that like a Frenchman the other day.
I know, look, it's a fucking guillotine, right?
Was it you that said it to me?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was, or down the pub, someone's like, you said it like a Frenchman. I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep saying it like that now. But yeah, like, you went deep on that. So although you might not, like, in advance, like they do, be like, right, I'm going to do this many blocks of guard, this many blocks of passing, I know actively you've been like, right, you know, today I'm going to drill passing with Rosh and Ben. Like, you know, so you have noticed those gaps in your game, and you have taken what I think is important is specific training. To get to my point, I've rambled quite a bit today. I've had one of those
fine, don't worry about it.
One of those wavy episodes where I just go off on tangents. But
it's all right. We'll loop back.
Yeah, I'll get to a point at some point. But you need specific training in a sense. Like, you need to focus your training. I don't think you're going to get as good as quickly as you can if you just come in and be like, I'm going to do the move of the day. Cool. Now let's roll, and I'm going to do the same three techniques. I say that as someone that does the same three techniques a lot, but yeah. I stand by it. Like, in the same sense that Malcolm has a plan of what he wants to work on, Harvey has this plan of what he wants to work on. You notice a gap in your game, so then you go out and work on that. Like, I think it's a
different kind of way of doing it, I suppose.
It doesn't matter. You're getting the same end result, which is focusing on a gap in your game and building that up. So, like...
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
You're taking direct feedback there, trying to predict. I think your way might actually be higher... I think your way might actually improve you quicker because you're actually taking feedback...
Yeah, that style for me, like.
...from live roles. Well, not for anyone. Because if you're saying... Because I could say, like, right, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to work on guard, but, like, my guard might be all right. And, you know, in roles, I don't know, guard's maybe a bad example, but, like...
It's not because I have no guard.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's all well and good to say, oh, well, this week I want to work on this technique, but, like, you know, there might be bigger gaps in your game that you're not working on, is what I'm saying. Like, again, I'm not...
Yeah, you might be bad in half guard or...
Yeah, no delusions of grandeur, no, like, fucking expert knowledge, so I'm not trying to speak about anything specific. I'm talking more in general... I think if you take the feedback from your live roles or your competitions and be like, right, I need to focus on this because I keep getting smashed when I'm in this position. And then you plug that leak, like plugging leaks rather than...
I'm in a boat, I'm in a fucking timber boat that's been shot with an M16 and I'm just going around with fucking silicone trying to plug leaks.
It's interesting.
But I'm staying afloat anyway for another
while. That's it, we're as long as you're staying afloat, mate, and as I keep saying... As long as it keeps being fun.
Yeah, it's the same as doing this, isn't it? But jiu-jitsu is never not going to be fun, man. I can't see a point.
He's like, I can't say the same for this fucking podcast. I'm getting sick of listening to you.
No, that's man.
I see it in your eyes.
It's not that. This is actually good fun because it's actually, I don't know, hopefully someone's getting, somebody's in the same situation or something, and maybe they're getting a bit of good thinking that how, because we're both very different, players and our game is different, how we approach things is different, and I think if someone taught the same as we did, and maybe, you know, maybe it might make them think something, or it might help them out, or maybe it might just laugh and say two boys are fucking idiots. As long as we get to listen, I don't give a fuck.
Like, engagement, yeah,
tell all your friends we're a bunch of fucking idiots and share that.
Tell them to listen along and how fucking stupid we are, and please comment, all of you, and fuck it.
Sorry, went off on Monday.
Yeah, no, please do, mate. Encourage the engagement. All I've been doing is going off in various directions. But yeah, I think I learn more the way you do, or not learn, but I focus my learning more the way you do. I might do more like, you know, I come home and maybe do some watch a few YouTube videos on something I'm specifically struggling with, and then try and implement that in a role. But I definitely will go in. Like, you know, each week I will look back at what didn't go well in rolling the last week, and I'll pick one or two of those to focus on for a couple of weeks, and then move on to, you know, each time I'll take the negative feedback and then make that my next learning point. But not everyone learns the same way.
That's exactly what I always say. Yeah.
So, I mean, we kind of this overlaps a couple of conversations that I wanted to have, like one that linked with the, you know. The competition you were talking about, maybe not moving gyms, but you know, you might, if you were very competition minded, you might want to move to a competition specific gym. And I was going to ask, like, do you think not having competition classes would be a red flag for a gym? Like, for you personally, would you think you needed to look somewhere else? Because I was looking on Reddit at one of the red flags, like, every day or two there's a post like,
yeah,
I've just joined a new gym. Is this a red flag? It's like, the instructor's sleeping with half of the students. Is this a red flag? Fucking A, it is. But they're like, a lot of them, it's like, oh, they're not competition orientated. Is this a red flag? And people are like, yes, yes, yes. But like,
it's not really.
No, I think we've kind of put that one to bed. And I know when we did the rules episode, we talked about like what would be make or break with a gym. So like, I mean, I don't know. I feel if we go through. I was going to talk about competition-related red flags, but I think if we do that, we're just going to be rehashing a conversation we've had. But like, honourable mentions to severe hygiene issues, gyms that don't let you cross-train, have a uniform policy. Those are the red flags that I think are definitely worth re-mentioning. But there was what the conversation in the WhatsApp. I think we've got to give that a. You said we'll give that a little bit of a reference with everyone's least favorite
submission.
So I mean, if you haven't, you must have realized by now that Mark fucking hates wrist locks.
It's been well documented, and surprisingly, after being put out there, people haven't tried. So that's actually hilarious, or they really like me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's it, mate. I think you've got a lot of fans off the back of this podcast, and they're just treating you nicely. Yeah. My opinion is like I don't think there's any like least favourite subs. They're just the subs that I'm less good at defending, so I get caught in more often. I don't like them, and. Squish put it another way. He was like, yeah, I hate fucking losing, so anything I'm caught in is my least favourite sub. And I'm like, yeah. I think that's the two sides of the same coin. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Were there any of the others that stood out to you?
Yeah. So we won't throw any shade anywhere, but someone we know went training somewhere and they got calf sliced by a white belt.
Oh yeah, calf slicing and heel hooked by a white belt, another white belt. I was like that.
I'm not going to go any further than that, but just because we're taught just to not be.
No, I'm not throwing any shade. To be honest, when I found out, I was like, yeah, you were a guest in that gym there to put you on watch. Like,
yeah, it was funny.
It was in the gi as well, just for those of you listening. The heel hook was in the gi, and it was done by someone that I believe would have been competing in the junior brackets. So it was a. It was some straight up savagery for it to do it to a guest to your gym.
I actually kind of half respected. Yeah, but I'd be furious if it was done to me.
I absolutely adored it when I heard the story. I was like, sounds like you got exactly what you were looking for when you trapped in there. Big Kabir was saying about he was like spazzy, and he was like, I don't have any specifically least favorite techniques, but he was like, I don't like anything spazzy, like when someone knees you in the head. And like we'd been doing positional from butterfly the day before, and I'd gone to throw a triangle upon him. So I was constantly, like, for the rest of the day, asking myself, I was like, did I knee Kabir in the head? So apologies if that was an indirect comment at me. I really hope not. But I can be spazzy, as we all can.
Yeah, one of the lads commented, Darce chokes, which I mean, it's not one of the, I mean, for something that you hate, I mean, Don't roll with Aiden.
No, I know. I think it's just because he's been caught in him a fair bit recently. I think that's okay. I think that's why where his dislike comes from. Again, not throwing anyone under the bus, but I know who left that comment. And I've definitely darced him a few times in the last few weeks. So,
I've been working on my darce as well, but I can't. I got close again. You reckon Ken, for people just because we only have audio, Ken has a shiner, and it's either me or someone else. And it could have been me trying to darce him, but
I was actually saying to Connor, because like the Friday before, I had a massive black eye
on the other side,
on the other side, and then like you know, from Tuesday night's training, I had one on under my right eye, and then from last night's, I've got a little another scuff now under my left, and I was like, you know, I can say, oh, so and so did this, so and so did that, but the common denominator in this is me, you know, I'm the one with the black eye, so I've got to stop putting my head in stupid places. I think is the message there, bro. So I'm not gonna be calling anyone else out for any black eyes, and just solely, what did Bobby say the other day? Extreme accountability.
Yeah. But I think Ivan said like a neck crank from Mount as well. And I'm like, who is neck cranking people in our gym from Mount? Like, it's can openers, as Luke says.
I think can openers from like when the other person's in closed guard. Oh, yeah. So they've got you in their closed guard and you're pulling their head towards you so they can't like move their hips away.
Yeah.
But again, incredibly illegal. I can think of a few people in our gym that would draw for that.
I say no names, but yeah, I'm not aware.
People of a certain strength.
I mean, I just like not submissions I hate, but submissions that I think are funny. I don't know if I've told so many people because I just think it's fucking hilarious. But Rob Brownbelt, like Rob Crawford, he'll often catch me in a triangle, straight arm me, and then wrist lock it at the bottom to finish it off. And it's just like, you could have triangled me. No, you straight arm me.
Little booby prize.
And then it's just like,
it always there's the noise as well. Like,
he does. But like, I like that's the kind of roles which I think are like hilarious. And it's like, that's Tarico Plata as well. When we actually drilled that there last night, wasn't it? I think it's a Tarico Plata, that one. But he used to do that to me before we did the drill.
On Tuesday?
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Sorry,
I did it on Wednesday as well, so I was just thinking, my memory's short.
Fucking hell. Interesting podcasting, guys. Sorry, we can go through the techniques we've drilled this week.
But I used to always know what it was when he had it on me, but I used to never know how he put it on me. I just thought, no, like, I'm looking at my arm that way and his body is that way. That's a trigo plata. And I was like, how the fuck does he do it? And, like, I was saying to Squish, and Squish goes, what, you didn't realise he just stepped over you? And it's like, no.
No.
If I did, I wouldn't even step over. I would have just tried to put my back on
that. The disrespect in your voice when you say that means that you clearly assume I know far more about this sport than I actually do.
That's kind of my two cents.
I like those moments, though. Like, remember when you were a white belt and you used to have them all the time where it's like, how the fuck is this happening to me? I like when people still, like, you know, because obviously it happens less and less the better you get, but, like, you know, still once a week, probably, I'll be rolling with one of the brown or black belts at our gym, and I'll be like, how the fuck did that just happen? Yeah. Like, you know, and it's like, it's nice. It's what, you know, it's what keeps you coming back, is like, you know, chasing that ability, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know. Anything else you want to finish up on?
I think that's as good a note to finish it on. We might have a guest next week, and we might not. We're definitely going to talk about how the comp went for Mike and the rest of the boys next week.
Yeah.
Guys, me and Mike are rapidly running out of things to talk about, so please do fire some suggestions of shit you want us to chat into the comments and what else do people do to get at us?
It's code DJ. Use code DJN10 at X Marshall for 10% off any of their gear. We're DJNBJJ Pod on all platforms. www.djnbjjpod@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with sponsorship or anything. Not just, you know, we're pipe dream, but anything. That's basically it. Obviously, the WhatsApp group is there. Yeah. Everything is in the bio. If you've missed any of the episodes, they're all in the top of the bio, the Instagram as well as the highlights. If you could share, if you are enjoying this episode of the podcast or any of the other episodes, if you could share them to your story or share them with three of your friends, it just helps with the algorithm and stuff like that. If you don't enjoy it, that's fair enough. You don't have to.
Yeah, also share it, though.
Just share it.
Talk some shit. Give us some abuse.
Press two buttons, like, for your friends.
Come on.
Come on.
Even if you don't like us, press two buttons. Embarrass us with your pressing of two buttons. But yeah, we'll do the 5-star thing. Do the follows on Spotify. Yeah,
like, follow, share and subscribe.
Whatever platform you listen on. Do all that good shit. And as always, play it to your nan.
Cheers, guys.
Much love, everybody.